Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and we are excited to bring another message of grace, another message that will hopefully enlighten you and what God is doing today as we study the Word of God rightly divided. And just want to say that it's a wonderful day outside. It's beautiful. I hope you had great temperatures too. I know it seems like it's jumped right from winter to summer. But it's still springtime, and we're still planting. We're planting seeds, and springboard off of that, we do have a church here in the Cambridge area of Ohio, the southeastern part of the state. And if you're looking for a church home, then you found one. We would like for you to come and visit us as we meet here. If you want more information, you can go to our webpage or email us at dispensator@sbcglobal.net. Prayer requests and praise items. I want you to think of our dear friends Morris and Lois as they continue to heal from surgeries, and Brother Morris has pneumonia, and we need to lift them up. He's a really good friend of ours, and I really treasure his knowledge and his friendship. Also, there's other people that's sick and maybe hurting. We just want to lift you up in prayer requests and praise items. The people contact us all the time about needs and prayer, and they're looking for churches. And my heart bleeds for them because my wife and I and kids, we've been planning churches for a long time. Or been involved in church planning and all, and when we can't get there, we can encourage you to start one, but it's not an easy task. But when you got the Word of God and you're in the Lord and the Lord's in you, and you have a good helpmeet, it makes a world of difference. So we'd like to encourage you to do that. We'd like to hear some good news from you and praise items and also. Just keep that in thought and prayer. Let's go to word and prayer at this time. Father, once again, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the things you've given us freely through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we mention the prayer requests and praise items, the things that's on our heart and mind, spoken and unspoken, that you tell us to make all things known unto you. And in doing so, it gives us peace. And that's what we're really looking for, just a peace of mind, a peace of comfort. Knowing that everything is secure, and we know that once we trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, you saved us, you sealed us, you sanctified us, and set us apart in you. And we thank you for that, and that should give us comfort above all things that this world could even give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 9, and we're studying the fundamentals of dispensationalism. And be turning to Ephesians chapter 2. And there's some things that we talked about dealing with issues in times past, but now in ages to come. We went through some dispensational truths that we are not going to rehash, but I may share some things with you shortly. But at this point, we're in lesson 9, we're going to start dealing with some issues having to do with times past. And if you'd understand the Word of God, you must approach it dispensationally. In other words, rightly dividing it. I had a chance to talk with a young man yesterday, and we was talking some things and about salvation, and he nailed it right on the bat. About trusting Christ died for his sins and buried and rose again for his justification. And I said, anything else? He says, there's nothing else. And I said, amen. That's what you want to hear. And that's a good thing. And then I asked the word about, have you ever heard a word dispensationally? And sometimes people's like, I don't really know. And if you have the right Bible, the King James Bible, it's in there 4 times. So it's not a word that should be strange to our ears. And many of it's not. But you have to understand the Word of God, rightly divide it. And the basic approach of studying your Bible will, with the aim of getting out of what God has put in for us. God spoke his word from Genesis to Revelation, and how do we get prophet? How do we get doctrine? How do we get reproof out of the word of God? Well, you have to know how to rightly divide it and who he's talking to. That's a big issue, because you know something? If I'm in a crowd or walking by a crowd and I hear a guy talking to my wife Sherry, or a girl, a guy, he's talking to her. And how rude would that be if I interrupted? But sir, you know, you said this to me. And he says, I'm not talking to you. So I know that's rude, but sometimes you have to be truthful, don't you? You know, I guess there's a couple different type of people in the world. There's a pessimist and an optimist. Okay, one sees the glass half full, the other sees half empty. I'm a realist. I'm neither nor, but so.
You can claim that,
well, my wife said I can claim that, but she's nowhere I'm at. But the thing is, when you look at the word and look at the glass, and we talk about looking at the glass and face to face some things, and you know in this world you had to be real. You can't be make-believe. You can't just spiritualize things. And that's very, very important, because a lot of people don't want to hear that. They want smoke and mirrors, and they want bands, and they want programs. They want entertainment. And they want to be amused. And so we don't want to do that here. We want to be able to tell you the truth out of God's word, illuminates off the page, into your soul, and that way you'll know what God is doing. And then you make that choice, because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when you study the Word of God dispensationally, you know he's dispensing things different. The man has changed. And we thank God that he gives us the word. We thank God that he gives us a way to understand some things. You know, we always talk about a verse that God's will is to have all man to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, you and I sitting here today and listening today knows that all men are not going to be saved. They choose not to. But God made a provision for that. But he also says, come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is, rightly dividing the word of God in the scriptures where God is dispensing it. And to study something historically, or word studies, or any methods, you need to be in a dispensational context. Okay? Context, context, context is very, very important. You can't pull a verse out of there and apply it to something without reading above it and reading below it, because you just don't want to do that. It will mess you up. So otherwise, you come up with conclusions that are not valid when you do that. So you don't need to study Larkin systems or Schofield systems or anybody else. You can learn, and I can learn, and I'm forever learning. I hope I never be able to say, you can't teach me anything. I don't want to do that, because the Word of God is teaching me things all the time. Once you're saved, it gets in your soul, and the soul and the doctrine, right doctrine, you can discern some things, can't you? Mm-hmm. You know, and you can say, whoa, that's not right. You know, I honestly believe when I was growing up that you always heard the golden rule, right from wrong, that type of thing. And you kind of knew what right from wrong from your conscience sake. But I never knew right from wrong, truly not right from wrong, until I understood what God was doing through the Apostle Paul, and what was right and what was wrong, what was truth and what was error. So Ephesians chapter 2. We talked about this many, many times over the last 15, 25 years that we've been in dispensational truths, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. We looked at Ephesians chapter 2, and we have seen where Paul has a threefold division of God's dealing with man. Chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So we have what Paul calls times past. Verse 13, But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then back in verse 7, you have the ages to come, he might show exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us through Christ. So we have times past, we have but now, and we have ages to come. And it's very, very important to understand those divisions. And once you get that time in that frame of reference, you'll know when you study the Bible, we might hit on that again, where you're at and what you need to do. So Paul presents those three basic divisions in God's Word when he deals with man. Those basic divisions between circumcision and uncircumcision. Paul says uncircumcision, right? You were with what? Without Christ. When Christ came, he came to a part of circumcision. That's what he did. This line right here is for the circumcision, and this line right here is for the uncircumcision. So we learn how Genesis through Malachi in time past books, and the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John also fits in that time period. You have Genesis through Malachi, distinction. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, distinctions, okay? And then you have Christ dies at Calvary. He was buried and rose again. He ascended into heaven. He came back in the early part of Acts, and the Holy Spirit comes, and the book of Acts starts out in times past when the fall of Israel takes place, so that by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, you move into the but now section. So that's why it's very, very important that when you study the Word of God and watch where you pull your doctrine out of, because the book of Acts is not a doctrinal book that you can stand on. It's a moving book. It's a transitional book. So be very, very careful with that, because we look at Acts chapter 2, dispensationalists. We look at Acts chapter 9, or mid-Acts, 9 to 17, 18, mid-Acts dispensation. And then you have Acts 28 dispensationalists. So you have three types of people that says that where the body of Christ started. And with Paul, it starts with the body of Christ with Paul. He's the first member. And also the dispensation of the grace of God started at Paul. These people down here, the 28ers, will say, the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 9, but the dispensation of grace did not be dispensed till after Acts 28. Then you got Acts chapter 2 up here, says it all started back here. Okay, so you got to even look at that very, very careful. But look, the book of Acts starts in time past, but when the fall of Israel takes place, and by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, you move to that but now section. That's what we're talking about. And you move from time past into but now, and the section where the Apostle Paul is our apostle, where he writes 13 books. And then Jesus Christ from heaven glory saw Paul on the road to Damascus, saves him, gives him a new body of information for us Gentiles, and it pertains to the grace of God. And it's called a mystery program, then here in the but now. This is called a prophecy program. This is a mystery program. And he tells Paul some things. Paul starts to get the knowledge, and he starts to preach in it. The information revealed to Paul and by Paul for us was kept secret until Paul wrote it down. See, Jesus Christ kept that secret in him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost back over here, until now. But now is revealed, the scripture's talking about. And you gotta think about where we find our walk, where the duty and the destiny of the church and the body of Christ starts, right here. Then one day, God's purpose for the body of Christ will be over. You know, that's coming. And, you know, one day he's going to take us out of here. When this body is full, when God's purpose is fulfilled here, he takes us out of here, and he goes back dealing with ages to come. There's going to be a distinction between Jew and Gentile once again. And that's because this program over here is going to was left off, postponed, will be picked up right back over here. And then you have that time of wrath will come on the earth. Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, binds Satan for 1,000 years. And then while Christ is ruling and reigning on this earth, and then after that, the great white throne, the judgment, and eternity. And so we saw that in the last lesson about the five basic dispensation in the threefold mystery. You, in times past, you had the dispensation of promise, remember, from Adam to Moses, then the law from Moses to Christ. And then, but now you have grace, Apostle Paul. Then in ages to come, you have the kingdom on earth. That's a little flock, the Hebrews through Revelation. Then the fullness of the times over here. So what is a dispensation? It's a particular set of instructions given by God for mankind's obedience. In times past, there was two dispensations. In ages to come, there's two dispensations. But now there's only one dispensation that you need to think about. So Genesis through Malachi, and through the early part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the early part of Acts, is times past. So in the but now, the dispensation, we have Paul's ministry going to form a mystery church at the body of Christ. That's Romans through Philemon, where there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Hey, these Jews down here that had fallen are lost Jews. They're not the kingdom Jews that was saved over here in this little flock. Okay? That program was postponed. So when you got people out there today preaching a Jewish message to the body of Christ, they're in error. They're trying to make you part of Israel's program when God says there's no distinction down here. God's not dealing with the nation Israel, and we'll see how that nation was formed here shortly. So the basic framework, and this is the last time, if you think about it, that we're going to review this. Now, not really the last time. I can bring this up every week because sometimes you got to see that, and one day it'll click. I know one time we came up to start a church in Ohio, and we spent 2 years in a church, and it, you know, you would think people was getting it, but we had a Bible study at home, and we had this chart, and was going through it, and this lady, she's gone to be with the Lord now, she goes, "Now I see it." So, you know, sometimes it may take a little while before this clicks, and once it clicks, it's going to be settled. I mean, we don't know it all, but God knows it all, don't he? And he tells us. And if you will study your Bible, no matter where you are in the scriptures, you'll know what dispensation you're reading about with this information and the framework. We're going to Genesis shortly, and we're going to see some things. Now, you should automatically identify Genesis with time past. So, we may not understand every single detail here, okay? And like I said before, I don't claim to know every single detail, but sometimes I know what it's not. And when I hear people talk and I hear people pull scriptures out, I know exactly where they're at and how it is applied. So that's very, very important. And there's that you have that information in your thing, and try not to fit what God is doing today in the mystery program in ages to come or in times past. Now, where was he at? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world." Now, the expression time past, there it is again, in verse 2 there. And time past and the expression but now are used in two different ways in your Bible. Dispensationally is verses 11, 12, and 13. There's a dispensation distinction. And then, two, it's personally used about individual before you were saved, time past, when you are saved, but now. You with me? Before you and I was saved, when we read these first 10 chapters or verses, especially the first 4, it has to do with you personally. And if it wasn't a dispensational change in verses 11, 12, 13, you'd still be in verses 2, 3, and 4. You with me? Before you were saved, you was that way. And personally predicted predicament of the individual of Ephesians, and God answers for the identifying in verses 1 through 10. Let's read them. And ye have ye quickened, and were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, in times past, me personally was walking according to the course of this world. Now, as a young lad growing up and running down them roads and through them backwoods and doing things, people would look at you, look at that little heathen. You know, look at he's following his daddy the devil. Now, you didn't think much of it, but and maybe they didn't think much of it too, but where was I? I can't speak for you. You know, but according to this verse, it says according to the prince of power of the air, you know who that is? Satan. He's the prince of power of the air. He's the god of this world and the prince of power of the air. The spirit now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past. That just didn't include me. It included you too. And the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Listen, that's not a good thing. Personally, that's where we all were. Then it says, but God, and who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in him. So the dispensational position of the Gentile, the problem he faced, is found in verse 11. And if you don't think about the but now, but God, he changed some things and that really helps us out as a bunch of Gentiles. And to think about verse 11, and we were at a dispensational disadvantage, and there was that is built up there, and it was called a middle wall petition that we're getting ready to read about. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So you had circumcision, you had uncircumcision, and they was made by what? Hands. That's what God told them to do, circumcise the flesh over here. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, why were they, or if I lived back then, why were we without Christ? You ever thought about that? Because why were they in a position of contempt and separation? Well, verse 11 is speaking of a social and racial division there. God set one nation aside from all the other nations, and because of that, they were without Christ. When he came to earth, he came to one nation, and who was that nation? Israel. So God made that distinction over here. God set us apart, and we'll find out why, and you probably already know. And it says this, and they were without Christ because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenant of promise. They had no hope. They did not have God, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Listen, that's a basic characteristic of time past, is that the division between circumcision and uncircumcision. It's not just a racial division. It's a spiritual problem there. Look, count them. Without Christ, aliens, strangers, no hope, without God. How many is that?
Five.
Five. You know what the number of five in your Bible stands for? Division. Isaiah 14:12 talks about the five I wills. What's Satan say? I will sin. I will. I. Me. You know, that type of thing. Look at me. It's division. And that's what that was back then. Divisions. Because you know what? We was not without Christ. We wasn't with Christ. And you know something? I said it, share this in my testimony. I'll share it again. I cannot remember any time in my young life going to church, anybody ever showing me that verse. That's scary. Because what did they tell you? You God's children. You're saved. You know what? That type of thing. Now, you can get saved as a child. I'm not saying you can't, okay? But this verse tells me how I was. I was following the course of this world. I was under the prince of power of the air. And you know what? As children of disobedience. And guess what? I was without Christ, without God, without a promise, without covenants. You know who had those promises and covenants? Sometimes get a hold of Romans chapter 9 and you see who had the advantage. But is this what we just share is advantage or disadvantage? It's a disadvantage. You're separated. That's not good. I'm serious. That's not good. That should scare you enough to say, whoa, I don't want to be without God. I don't want to be without Christ. But you know something? There are going to be people out there without Christ. There are people out there today, outside them doors, walking down them streets, doing whatever they want to, whatever case may be, living for themselves, and they're without Christ. And you know what? They're going to die without Christ. And that's their choice. Because I know what the Word of God says about this gospel was spoken to every creature under heaven one time. This gospel that Paul preaches, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ that saves you, that Christ died and was buried and rose again, has been spoken, and it's out there for everyone and upon everyone that believes it. It's out there for everybody. But is everybody going to take it? You know, I like fishing. And I put a bait on the hook, put a big old gob of earthworms. And you know, some fish, that's unresistible. Some fish won't take that bait. I was down there, down home a couple weeks ago, and I saw this trout that big. He was coming out from a rock. And I kept throwing that worm and coming by. He rounded. Finally, he just disappeared because it was scaring him. he would not take that bait. And we hear the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You heard that 1,001 times. You know how you get that horse to drink? You know? You salt the oats. And our speech should be seasoned with salt, in order to make their mouths watery, to want the water of the Word, okay? And it's going to quench their thirst, the thirst that you won't die and go to hell and burn forever out there. So, very, very important. Those five numbers there, that division, and it was a division between that. But what does verse 13 say? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. Now, in the dispensation promise in time past, God erects a middle wall partition. Then he fortifies that middle wall partition. How does he fortify it? What strengthened that wall between Jew and Gentile? The law. The law, the dispensation law dispensed that. And God Almighty gave to Israel the middle wall partition. That wall was big in that temple, guys. They had my understanding is a 4-foot wall over, and it said death to the Gentiles if they crossed over that wall. Now the Gentiles had a court of their own in the temple area, but they could not cross over that wall and go in that temple. It meant death. And he gave them things they had to go under the law that fortified the wall and being impregnable. You could not penetrate it. They believed that. And we're going to identify what the wall is and when it was erected and to whom and to what is applicable. Now, you get people today say, I understand that wall ain't there today. I understand that. But they still want you to live like Israel did. They still want you to pertain those books, and that's wrong. The books was the law. The Bible just said that he, having abolished in his flesh, talking about Jesus Christ's enmity, even the law, commandments contained in ordinance for make to him, he completed that.
Amen.
You know, we're not under law, we're under grace. And then you want to see the doors in the middle wall partition for the Gentiles to come through. That's what we're going to look at here in a little bit. There was a doorway over here that the Gentiles could get to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for the purpose of the people to be on the right side of that wall. God's will is to not have any man to perish in any dispensation. Okay? He made a provision for any dispensation for people to trust and be sanctified and set apart and saved and sealed forever. You can't lose it, even in times past. And I believe that wall, what it fortified, it separated them. Sanctification, when they did that. We have a sanctification today. We're set apart. We're dead to the law, dead to flesh, dead to sin. And why did God separate them? So we want to discover the purpose of the law as it was added to the promise, it said. Genesis chapter 12. We got a long way to go. Long way. And we're going to look at some things that it may take us this time next year to get through what we're just studying. But if the Lord tarries, we're going to do it the right way. And if you're with us, you're going to start benefiting and building your soul up and fortifying your knowledge in the Word of God, where you'll be able to understand some things and be able to take it and be truth with it, okay? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now what did he just tell them? And take everybody with you. Take your daddy with you. Take your nephews with you. Take your kinfolk with you. Pack up and leave. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thee thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now look. The Palestinian covenant has to do with the land and the nation and the blessings. Palestine is land. And for years and years, and probably as long as I've ever been alive, and many of you too, and long, they've been fighting over that land. But he said he's going to make him a great name, didn't he? And he is a great name. Abram's a great name. And in just about any type of religion, he's a great name. So God Almighty had made a promise to Satan back time of Adam about a seed of a woman. He said the seed of a woman would destroy Satan, and his seed line of that woman had come down through Abraham. And at that point, the seed line is being set apart to become a great nation. It will take place 400 years later in the nation to develop when it comes out of Egypt with Moses. And they come out a great nation, my firstborn, a great nation over there. So the issue of the promise is what? God promised the seed, the Redeemer. He narrows the seed line down to the seed of Abraham, and that's the reason he did that in Genesis chapter 11. Now, you know what happened in Genesis chapter 11. You know what happened in Genesis chapter 10. You know what happened in Genesis chapter 9, the flood of Noah. Okay, now at that time period. Genesis chapter 10, God told Noah, told his children, go and replenish the earth. And I believe they went to their nations and they did what God says. But from Genesis chapter 10 to Genesis chapter 11, the 150 years has separated or have passed. And within 150 years, if you don't think you can gather everybody back, bring them back under the Babylon, the tower, Nimrod, the great hunter, he's going to feed you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you what you need. Does that sound familiar? Government. Okay? And he's going to take care of you. And that's what happened to where they was back under one tongue and one language and one nation and all that stuff. That's what Satan wants. Okay? I. And that seed, you got to think about that seed line. What did he say? Listen, God's got a seed line. Seed of a woman. Satan's got a seed. You follow that all the way through there, and when the Lord Jesus Christ is on this earth, that seed was on this earth too. Satan's seed. This line up here represents Israel, the true nation Israel, but if you had another one coming down alongside of this, it was apostate Israel, and probably about 90% of the people probably followed that line versus following the true Israel. So don't think that today, people can't be tricked. I always say, but 90% of people out there, 90% of the religious system out there is following a false gospel today. I know it. You might say, how do you know that? Well, do they trust Christ, died for your sins, buried, and rose again? Do they teach the word of God rightly divided? Do they follow Paul the apostle to the Gentiles? Do they know who their apostle is? They're following this guy over here. They're following Moses under law. So at the Tower of Babel, the nations of the world said, we don't want to retain God in our knowledge. So what did God do? And hold your finger there and go to Romans chapter 1. If you really want to know why we are the way we are, and it's just as clear as day, match up Genesis 1, 2, 3 with Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, and you'll see exactly why we are the way we are. And once you identify the way you are, maybe you need to be helped. Maybe you need to come to some knowledge of the truth. Maybe you need to be saved. But look. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God and manifested in them, for God hath showed it to them. God has showed, your conscience is God-given, and it knows and tries to find God. For the invisible things of Him that from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His eternal power of God and Godhead, so they were without what? Your conscience in you can actually look out there, see the invisible things, invisible that God has created, and you know what? He says, you're without excuse. There's no atheists. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like the corruptible man, watch this now, to birds, to four-footed beasts, to creepy things. They degenerated God. And so you're standing down, I'm God. Boom. And he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You don't see that going on today, do you? Who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, what cause? They changed the truth into a lie. God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use that unto them, excuse me, into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the nature use of a woman, burn in the lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of error which was meet. That's indecent, shameful stuff they was doing. Did it bother them? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the reprobate mind to do the things which were what? You want to decide, when you look at the world and you turn on this and you wonder why they're not obeying God or worshiping God, and they won't take God this out and that, add their God in, that type of thing. This is why. But what did God do? He gave them up to the reprobate mind. He gave them exactly what they wanted. Times past. Okay? Walked the course of this world. What does Genesis chapter 11 say? You're in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. That's not exactly what God told them. That's not what God told them to do.
Right.
Back there in the beginning, verse 10, chapter 10:10. And the beginning of the kingdom was Babel and that. And out of the land he went forth, Nineveh, all these cities. Verse 2. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a tower, a city, a tower, whose top may reach upon heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. God didn't tell them to do that. You know, it's something interesting, and I don't want to get off subject here. We have a group of people in this world that's got rockets going to the heavens. And they're trying to make stuff in the heavens. And they're trying to go to other planets. God didn't tell us to do that. God didn't tell them to do that. They want to build a tower to get to heaven. Okay? Something strange about that should just click right now, like, ooh, that might not be a good thing. Anyway, Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 13, I want you to go to 13. In Genesis chapter 12, you read about the things that God told Abraham when he first was contacted. In this chapter, we see that Abraham does not completely obey God. And he did not go about himself, right? We just saw that. He took his daddy. And his daddy dies, Lot still is with him. And now, in chapter 13, verse 14, Lot is separated in verse 14. Look at this. Genesis 13, 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. Now, Abraham's what? All by himself. Exactly what God told him. See, the choices we make, God don't forget. You know what I mean? God's waiting on you to make that right choice. And I tell people this all the time. Your spirit is cut off. Spirit, soul, body. When you're lost, your spirit's cut off. You cannot communicate with God Almighty. The only way he communicates with you once you trust Christ died for your sin and buried and rose again, your spirit is quickened, made alive, and now you can communicate with God Almighty. And I watched people, and you probably have too, that people try to communicate with God, and they're lost as ever. They're going to die and go to hell. And you got to wonder, which God are you talking to? You know, I years ago, I was with somebody, and we was talking about God, and he said, I said, if you could go to heaven, would you want to know if you want to go to heaven? Okay, would you? And he said, if you could know, I asked him if you want to go to heaven. He said, nah. I said, if you could know, would you want to know? That's not really. I said, well, I'm going to tell you anyway. And we talked about some things, and we talked about heaven and hell, and how it's funny you tell people, you know. I said, do you ever tell anybody to go to hell? He said, yeah. I said, but you tell people go someplace that you believe, but you don't believe in heaven. That's what the reference was. And so afterwards, the Cavaliers was playing in a championship game, and he goes, boy, I'm going to pray to God that they win tonight. And I immediately turned and said, which God are you going to pray to? And he said, you got me there. You know, because now he understood that there's many gods out there, and that's what happens out there. You can pray to God, little g, and there's gods out there. You are God according to human views. And I watch children, I watch, you know, people that they will take their own viewpoint and believe man's science so-called, and believe that over the Word of God. Lift up thy eyes, lift up now thy eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give thee, and to thy seed for a couple years. What does it say? Forever. God promised to Abraham and his seed to the land of Palestine forever. Not just some time, not just as long as they're obedient, but the promise is forever. This promise, nation land, is forever over here. Verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land of the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar unto the Lord. He told them to get up and go out and walk up and down the land and get familiar with it. And it is yours. It's just not that 7-mile stretch of Israel. It's an area. It's a landscape. And he promises them. First he said, I'm going to bless you. Then he tells them about the land he will give them and their seed forever. Involved in the Abrahamic covenant, it is necessary for fulfillment of the promise God gave Abraham, and Abraham and his descendants receive eternal life. Okay? It's very, very important they do that. And the only way you can live in the land forever is to what? Die like a dog, or, you know, take a dirt bath and you become worm dirt?
No.
You're going to live forever. Okay? So it's the promise to Abraham is the issue of eternal life. That's the issue there. And it's very important to remember that when we get into the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were anticipating the actual kingdom and living in it. Remember we talked about after Christ died and buried and rose again, he comes back, and the first question that Peter, James, and John asked the Lord Jesus Christ, when will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? That's their hope. That's their promise, their focus, their life. And in chapter 12 and 13 of Genesis, God promised the land to Abraham and promised everlasting life. He promised to bless him. And in chapter 15, go there, God actually makes a covenant with him. He didn't make a covenant before, he told him. Hey, if you think God told you something, you should just go ahead and take it for what it's worth. I think so.
Yes.
Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. Get ready to quit here shortly. Time flies when you're having
sure
fun. We got a long way to go. Genesis 15, 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, and etc. The scriptures shows you about the dimensions of it. Notice the words, unto thy seed have I given this land. And if you compare that to chapter 13, verse 15, it says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. That is the promise, guys. But in chapter 15, God makes a covenant. He actually cuts a contract and he signs it. And that can be seen in a ceremony that goes on before that. When Abraham falls asleep, was asleep, God walks between, you want to guess how many animals? You want to guess how many animals? You want to guess how many animals?
Five.
Thank you. There's that division again. Five animal sacrifices, demonstrating that God was going to do this covenant by himself. God's going to make that covenant. And I'm going to leave off right there, and we'll pick up in chapter 17 next week with the issue of this seed line and the promise and the hope. And we're going to work all the way through this, guys. Okay? It doesn't seem like I've been with you an hour, but probably some of you it does seem like I've been with an hour. But anyway, I hope you're not yawning, going, take, if you folded your clothes, that's fine, but at least you're still listening. But anyway, next week we'll pick up when you see God erected that middle wall partition we're talking about. So just remember, when you're thinking about times past, and what we're working on is the fact that what God is dealing with the nation Israel with a distinction here. Okay? Thank God, today, in a but now, there is no distinction. And that's by that cross, that vehicle right here, that takes us and by way of trusting that, places us in the body. And this body of believers are going to be, they have a hope, we have a hope. And we're going to live forever, just like Abraham's promise. And we're going to see, eventually how we can call Abraham our father, because he had a dual fathership, before circumcision and after he was circumcised. So, let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things given us. And as we think about the promises made in times past with Abraham, and this promise of a seed, and a promise of a redeemer, and a promise of hope to that nation, we also have hope in the fact that we can trust Christ, and we're no longer without Christ, and without promises, and without a hope in God, and knowing that he's taken us and placing us in a body of believers, which he is ahead. And Father, if there's one person out there today that not fully trusted that Christ died for his sins and buried and rose again, let them do so today, for today is the day of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Once again, if you want to visit our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, you can go on there and on our website and see some things that was going on. If you want to support our ministry here as we continue to do the work of the ministry, sometimes it seems hard, but you know something? Our rewards are out of this world. In other words, we're getting benefits that's going to place us in heavenly places. And just to have one soul, people says, you know, it's just you and your wife sometime down here, you know, and meanwhile you can pass a church building with 1400 people in there. Thing is, you be faithful. God's not impressed with numbers. He wants faithful men and women. So continue to pray for us as we do this. I wish we was in the area where you were at right now, but we're not. We're here where we're at. And if you want to visit us on our website, we have our YouTube channel. If you have YouTube, you can search Dispensational Bible Church and subscribe to that, and you get the notification when we pop up. Also, if you got a Roku TV, Apple TV, or Smart TV, you can download a little app called Boxcast, and you download that app. It's free. You download it, and you type in Dispensational Bible Church, and boom, there we are. And you can see many of our old programs that we have there. But until next week, may the Lord richly bless you.